Hello.
And I'm going to shut my phone off.
Hello, Ariana Linus. Ariana Linuski here.
Whereas in New Zealand, they talk a little softer.
A little soft. Little. How would you say little?
Little.
A little softer. Sifter. A little sifter.
A couple of Kiwis over here.
A couple of Kiwis. You know what I noticed is that all vowels are I's and all I's are A's.
So
Connie would be Keeny.
Keeny?
Because it's an I. Or Kenai. No, that doesn't make any sense.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Indie Darlings, the show where we discuss indie films we consider to be indie darlings. Today's special guest is Ariana Linarski. Linarski, right?
Yes.
I don't know why I keep freaking out when I say people's names. Okay, Ariana Linarski, a wonderful comedian and musician, and the movie you chose for us to discuss today is What We Do in the Shadows, the 2014 movie directed by Taika Waititi and written by Taika Waititi and Jermaine Clement. Ariana, why did you choose this film?
I heard it was really funny. Mm-hmm. I really like Jermaine Clement. Mm-hmm. Also, I want to say I wanted to keep doing the New Zealand accent. Before we started recording, we were kind of doing a New Zealand accent.
Oh, yeah.
So I wanted to be like, hello, mate. But well, I guess that's not right.
I just knew mine was going to be so limited.
Your accent?
I would end up dropping it very quickly because there were certain words I just wouldn't be able to say.
I wanted to jump right in. I wanted to, when you said my name,
it's actually
Ariana Linarski.
Ariana Linarski.
Ariana Linarski.
Linarski.
Ariana Linarski. And I can't do it. I sound like I'm losing my mind.
I wouldn't even know how to say my name. Corny Shin. Is that?
Kenny Shin.
Shane.
Kenny Shane.
Shane.
Kenny Shane.
What made you choose this film?
So I thought it was very funny. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe I have a crush on Jermaine.
He's pretty great.
He's hot and like weird. Mm-hmm. And like has a gravity to him that is he uses for humor. Uh-huh. Which I think is really funny.
He's a very distinct voice.
He has a really distinct, like really sexy voice.
Okay. I think I think it's very charming.
It is.
I love him on Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah. He's great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it had a very good rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
This got very good ratings.
Mm-hmm. I heard it was like one of the most pirated movies of all time.
That's so
apparently
funny.
Which makes sense to me. I can see that. I mean, I pirated it.
Yeah.
While I to watch it.
I think I tried to pirate it when it first came out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Unsuccessfully, though. I ended up watching it on Amazon Prime.
Oh.
I rented this via Netflix DVD.
What is that?
It's a when Netflix first started out, they would send you DVDs.
Oh, that's right. So you actually saw this a while ago.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I had to rewatch it for this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remembered it, but I was like, I want to be fresh.
Yeah. It was very, I'm trying to think if it was as funny as I thought it would be. I think it was. I was all in for Jermaine. Like, I was ready to be like,
mm-hmm.
There's my sexy man. But I actually end up being really, I really was in love with Taika Waititi.
Mm-hmm.
He's so cute.
He's so adorable.
Funny.
Like so Jermaine does star in this, but I would say the star of this is more
Taika.
Taika, yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. It follows. Okay, that's just
like a cheerfulness and a.
There's a couple of things about this movie that are very appealing. One of them is that it's shot documentary style.
Yes.
But it's following vampires in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole purpose of documentaries is to show real life footage and show all those weird in-between moments and the backgrounds of things. But vampires are supernatural creatures. Uh-huh. And it's something I realized when I was watching this a second time is that vampires, a lot of stuff about them we just don't think about. So to see it shown in a on film in a documentary, there's going to be a lot of awkward, like, their one of their first scenes is like, who's doing the dishes? Who cleans up? And they're literally fighting there, and they keep saying, vampires don't do dishes. Vampires don't do chore wheels. And I was like, oh yeah, who does do all the cleaning for them? Because I'm sure they leave a mess.
I loved that human that they use, the victim.
Oh yeah.
I guess she was a slave.
She was, okay. So I did some Googling. Okay, so I'm just going to list off the characters here. Viago was the main character played by Taika Waititi. Mm-hmm. He is a vampire who was at one point a dandy.
Mm-hmm.
And Vladislav is Jermaine Clement's character.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a character like kind of a conqueror type character.
Mm-hmm.
Who
used to torture.
He's known for torturing people. And back in the day, like a Vlad the Impaler type of character. And he used to have supernatural powers where he could turn into animals. But then after a while, he couldn't quite get the face right. And in reference to that, when I first showed up to record, Ariana surprised me with this really hideous fan fiction, I want to say. No. I would say, I wouldn't say fan fiction.
Fan art.
This is the fan art. Someone made a stuffed cat with Jermaine Clement's face molded onto it.
And it is ugly as sin. It is like one of the ugliest things I've ever seen in my
life. It's not flattering for Jermaine.
It was a real cat. It's obvious. Ugh. Think about what they had to do to make this. So it was like a real cat stuffed animal, uh-huh. Right? I assume. And then they had to carve out the actual face of the stuffed animal cat, which is psychotic.
Yeah.
A psychotic thing to do.
I didn't even think about that part.
And then I didn't either till this very moment. And then they must have had to have found a mask. Because this looks like porcelain. It doesn't look right. Like, it looks like a clay.
Yeah, it definitely.
Clay or
it
porcelain.
Some sort of clay.
And then painted a pretty good rendition of Jermaine's face.
I mean, it's all right.
It's all right. I mean, like,
It gets the point across.
I knew what it was. They definitely did his teeth.
But this gets referenced in the movie for about 2 whole seconds.
Yeah, so it's insane that somebody made this. Like, it's wrong that someone made this.
It's kind of brilliant.
And it's brilliant. And it, the cat was a little tie, beanie baby. It's really ugly. So it's sitting on the table with us, mm-hmm. and it's really
I will
hideous.
Include a photo for
yes,
later.
Please do.
The other characters are Deacon, who refers to himself as the young bad boy of the group, who's only a couple hundred years old. And then the last one of the group is Peter, who is a Salem's Lot style vampire.
Yeah, like Nosferatu.
Yeah, he looks like Nosferatu, and he's like the oldest out of all of them. And I think he's the one that turned most of them.
Yeah, he definitely turned
Taika's character.
He turned Taika and he turned
Deacon?
What's his face? Deacon. Yeah, he turned Deacon as well.
Okay. And it's they just live together in a house at New Zealand. And let's see. So we're discussing the slave. One of them, Deacon, has a human slave that he gets to do errands for him in the promise that he'll turn her into a vampire and she'll achieve immortality. But what's hilarious about this, okay, so she is a play on the Renfield character from Dracula.
Oh, I didn't know that. I've never seen, I'm actually not a big vampire movies person. I've never seen Interview with a Vampire. I haven't seen.
You name one movie. And it's that movie that makes me laugh so hard.
Why?
Like,
that the classic Interview
with a
Vampire?
I'm not really
vampire?
Into vampire movies. I haven't seen the.
I should have picked Twilight or like something like that.
No, I don't know. But it's just there's so many iconic vampire movies and you're like.
And the number one is Interview with a Vampire.
Okay. All right.
Wait, why? What would you say?
Dracula.
Oh. Dracula Dead and Loving It.
Yeah. It'd be like if that was your reference point. I'm like, do you know what vampires are?
Haven't you ever seen Dracula Dead Loving It?
Well, but Dracula is based on a, you know, some folk, a book.
Uh-huh.
And, well, and this is actually shown in various movies. Dracula has a human servant called Renfield who hopes that Dracula will turn him into
the undead.
The undead. But what's really funny is Renfield is usually portrayed as like this creepy Igor-like character. And in this movie, it's she's portrayed as borderline like a wedding planner.
Yeah.
And it's pretty great. And so just watching him give her the logistics, and she's just like asking him questions like a wedding planner would. Just like, okay, how many dead bodies? Now, doesn't it depend on ages? Okay, now gender, does that matter? And it's amazing. And she has to pick out victims for them. And so she picks out one of them as her ex-boyfriend from elementary school. And the other one is a girl that picked on her as a kid.
And they both end up, well, one ends up dying. Well,
yeah, one ends up dying. Oh, Taika Waititi, he has, his character has a thing where whenever they bite someone, they always hit a artery by mistake and it starts gushing blood everywhere.
I was really impressed by the special effects in this movie.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
I didn't need them to go that hard into it, and they really did.
I'm really glad they did, because they still, like, even though this movie, I would classify it as a comedy.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And even though it has that documentary element, they still insert that realness of vampires rushing at you, glowing eyes.
Yeah.
The Peter character looks great.
Yes. He's really terrifying.
He is scary looking.
He's really scary looking.
And when he burns, oh, spoiler, he burns because they accidentally open up a window in his basement. It looks real and it looks terrifying. And I like that they included that.
Yeah, me too. I liked that the scene where they're chasing Nick. When they're chasing Nick, then...
Oh, yeah. Okay, so one of the victims that was the ex-boyfriend of... What's her character's name? Is it Redfield?
I don't remember her name. No. I don't think maybe it's like Laura. It's a normal lady's name.
Okay. Okay, so
but her ex-boyfriend doesn't get, she wants him to get killed.
She wants him to get killed, but doesn't.
He doesn't.
Someone he gets turned.
Into a vampire.
Which pisses her off because she's supposed to be next in line to get turned. Yeah.
But it's so funny when they're chasing him through, he gets sick of it and he's like, I don't want to be here. These people are weird. And tries to leave the castle. And that like chase scene is so weirdly funny.
Well, he's like, because he's trying, you see him trying to leave the castle because, well, one, they try to kill him. Lost Boys style.
Yeah.
They serve him dinner that they keep in like these year old cans of spaghetti.
Does Lost Boys refer to Peter Pan? Or like, what does that refer to?
Oh, you don't like vampire movies. Okay.
No, I've not watched them. I don't know.
No. The Lost Boys is a movie called The Lost Boys. Uh-huh. It's about a motorcycle gang that's also vampires.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so they trick this kid, human kid, they have him eat some noodles. And they're like, look out for the maggots in your food. And he looks down and it's a bunch of worms.
Oh.
Yeah. And then they trick him into drinking vampire blood.
Oh, my God. And then he becomes a vampire?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm missing so many references.
Yeah. And so and it's funny because they full on say, we got the idea from Lost Boys.
And, like, all the vampires sat down and watched Lost Boys together.
Well, I just love that they saw those 80s movies and they were like, great idea. Let's try that.
A bunch of improvisers sitting around watching that movie that just came out. What was that movie called?
What?
The one where...
Oh, Don't Think Twice?
Yeah, Don't Think Twice.
I don't think any improvisers like...
could bear to watch it.
Or would watch it and be like, let's make this our life. Okay, so they Lost Boys this guy and then he very calmly freaks out and he's like, I want to leave. You know, they start locking the doors. They start killing people. And he gets trapped.
But the pace is so weird. Like, the pace is so funny because he's not running, like, in a panic.
He's not hysterical.
He's sort of like, I gotta get out of here. And he's then like, the way they chase him isn't that intimidating either. Like, it's a little like, it's like a little slapstick. And that tone
I found
really funny. Yeah, like, and it was just so weird.
Yeah, because they're trying to scare him, but they're not doing a great job. Like, you see Taika bite the woman, but he hits an artery and blood's gushing everywhere. You see Jermaine turn into a cat, but he can't get the faces right. And so you still see his face. And then I think finally Peter gets him.
Yes, Peter is the one.
Peter's the one that ends up getting him.
Which they don't really want.
Yeah. Okay, so Nick becomes a new vampire.
And then, but his friend.
Oh, yeah.
His friend is the heart of the film.
Yeah, he brings in a human friend called Stu, who...
A computer analyst? Is an IT guy?
Well, here's the thing about Stu. Stu has hardly any lines, rarely talks, but all the vampires instantly, like... He's their favorite person all of a sudden.
Well, because he opens up their world.
Yeah, he introduces them to the internet. YouTube,
so they can watch pictures of sunsets.
He teaches them or judo. At one of them judo. And he introduces them to a bunch of stuff. And they love Stu. Stu actually makes me feel very Jermaine Clement, that character. Because it does seem like a character you would see out of Flight of the Conchords. Mm-hmm. He reminds me very much of Eugene Merman's character in Flight of the Conchords. Mm-hmm. Like a character that doesn't say much, but the other characters are drawn to for whatever reason.
He's like the heart of the movie. And I found out that character is an IT guy in real life.
Are you serious?
And they didn't tell him that he had a big role. They were like, we just kind of need you to do like a couple things. Don't worry about it. You're like barely in the movie at all. Because they didn't want him to feel self-conscious.
Yeah.
So then they just kept feeding in more and more and more lines. And he's like, I'm this too? And he was like, oh, yeah. I mean, it'll be cut. Like, and they So they made it seem like he was like not a big part. And you can tell by the way he's acting, like he's very.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like the scene where he's like, hi, my name is Stu. And they tell him to, he's like, can you speak up more? And he, in the same tone, goes, hi, my name is Stu again. And like, doesn't like, his voice doesn't increase in volume, like, at all. It's so good. He's so funny.
He is weirdly, becomes a very important part of this movie. Like, he weirdly helps ground the vampires. They all agree that they like Stu.
That, to me, was the funniest part. Because... I don't know if you felt this way as a fellow comedian, but you like kind of see the game and you're like, okay, whatever. That's funny. But you're not even laughing. You're just like, that's funny. That's funny. Right. Yeah. I get it. But then with Stu, it was something more pure where it's just like, we like him. And it's like, it's not a game. It's just like, we just like Stu.
They don't want to kill him. They genuinely just like Stu. They just think he's great. And even though they try to kick out Nick, because Nick, he does everything literally that he's not supposed to. He tells everyone he's a vampire. He randomly wants to fight people.
He lets a vampire hunter kill Peter.
Yeah, he tells someone who claims to be a vampire hunter that he's a vampire and where he lives, and the vampire hunter comes after them. And so when they try to kick out Nick, they want to keep Stu. So a vampire hunter comes in, accidentally gets killed, but also accidentally kills Peter because he breaks a window in the basement where Peter sleeps, and the sun comes in and he just bursts into flame. And, that's the final straw for them, and they kick out Nick. Oh, and then at some point we should mention that there's werewolves in this movie.
I liked those guys too.
Oh, yeah.
The werewolves, not swearwolves.
Oh, yeah. That's a fun catchphrase for this movie. This movie also features, oh my God, I'm blanking on his name. He played the one of the werewolves.
Reese. I don't remember his last name.
I'm gonna figure it out.
Reese something.
But so there's the folklore in this is that vampires and werewolves, they never get along, but in this one the werewolves they're like they hang out together. They literally run into each other when they're going outside, but the werewolves they try to tame their werewolfness by not losing their tempers.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever they run into the vampires, they weirdly like taunt each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just fun watching them interact. It's like, we're werewolves, not swearwolves. Reese Darby.
Yes. Has he been in other stuff?
Yeah, he played their manager in Fly the Conchords. Oh, mm-hmm. He had his own series for a while.
Cool.
And he's on a show right now, I think called Wrecked.
Mm.
He's been in a lot of stuff.
I thought all the werewolves were really cute, too. It was kind of a meat rack for me, the whole movie.
There's a lot of adorable people in this movie. Yeah. There's a fun part where Nick and I forget who they turn into animals to fight. I think it's Deacon. Deacon and Nick, they get in a fight.
Oh, right. They turn into bats.
And then someone goes, bat fight.
Bat fight.
Because they're fighting as bats.
They also did that at the ball when the vampires started fighting someone. With vampire fight.
Mm-hmm. And zombies are in this movie.
Mm-hmm. There's some zombies.
Which I thought was interesting because I was like, huh. So zombies, werewolves.
They put everybody in.
Well, because you wouldn't traditionally think of zombies as being like part of, they're not normally in the same movie.
Well, it was an undead party. That was the thing, I think.
Oh, yeah, because they're preparing to go to an undead, like, ball.
Yes.
And, okay, so, sorry, looking over my notes. Oh, when they kick out, sorry, I'm jumping all over the place, but when they kick out Nick, they're like, we're going to take you to the procession of shame. So they literally take him outside and they walk around him and just say, shame, shame, shame.
And I like that Jermaine Clement was like, shame, shame. The others were like, shame, shame, shame.
But it's just like the, not intense at all. It's just like,
I love that tone throughout the whole movie of just like, this should be much more and it's not. Mm-hmm. This makes it very silly.
Uh-huh. Oh, the ball is called the Unholy Masquerade.
Oh, yes, the Unholy. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, the rule is everyone has to be undead. And it takes place in the Cathedral of Despair. Okay, so they're supposed... earlier in the movie, Jermaine Clement's character says that he was very powerful at one point, but then he lost his confidence when he got conquered by the Beast. And they make references to the Beast, and they'll flashlight pictures and images of medieval imagery of a monster.
And does the monster have like a dick on his chest?
It has like three legs or something.
Yeah, there's something weird going on.
Yeah, and so you think the Beast is like a weird monster, and then okay, so there's like Monster of the Year or something. That something, like, oh, guest of the year.
Guest of honor. Yeah, there's a guest of honor.
And Jermaine's hoping that he's going to get it. And then they find out the Beast got it. And then you find out who the Beast is. And it's Jermaine's ex-girlfriend.
And I love that he's like, hello, Beast. And she just went, hello, asshole.
Yeah, like she impaled him or something.
Oh, did she during the relationship? Oh, yes, yeah. I do remember that. Yes.
She impaled him. And she was like, well, you were being an asshole. And I'm like, wow, that's... that's great. Oh, and then, okay, so a bunch of crazy things happen in this town, but there's cops, but they're
like... Oh, my God, I loved that. They were so useless.
Yeah, the most idiotic cops.
That's what I wanted most of all was that power, which is actually more like a Jedi power than a vampire power, where they're just like, nothing strange, you'll see nothing strange here.
Well, that's something that's shown a lot, actually, in other vampire movies.
Mm-hmm.
They call it different things. They call it, well, in True Blood, they call it glamming.
Glamming?
Yeah, where they like hypnotize you.
Uh-huh.
But in this, I think they just call it hypnotize, but yeah. It's very funny. You see Jermaine trying to do it to an old man.
See me. Was he disappointed that he had to go kill this old man at the end of that scene? Was that what was happening there? Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Well, also his glamming wasn't working very well. Like, he had to tap the window.
Yeah. To me, that would be what I would want of all the vampire powers.
Mm-hmm.
Would just be like, this isn't like when he was like, you can't hear me right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just that kind of like on and off. Yeah. Like, it's basically like a remote.
Yeah. I mean, it does make sense. You would need a special power in order to get away with, you know, murdering people after a while.
It's true.
But let's see. I don't have that many notes because I think after a while I just started enjoying the movie. But I thought they did a really good job of introducing jokes and then bringing them back.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel like your comedy brain turned on while you're watching it? Noticed it for myself. I was like,
I noticed it the second time around. Mm-hmm. They do. Okay, so they go to the ball and the Beast is there, but Jermaine tries to upshow her by coming in all glammed out. But the thing is, the vampires brought Stu, and Stu can't be there because he's a human and he's not dead.
Right.
And then they find out, and then a fight ensues. And then I'm trying to, why can I not remember what happened next?
Well, he gets impaled.
Oh, their human servant. Her name was Catherine.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she gets, she does get turned eventually by, is it Nick?
She gets turned by Nick. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Much to the dismay of Deacon, who's been wanting to keep abusing her.
Yeah. Like he cause she has a husband and kids and, but she wants to become a vampire. And, her reasoning is that I'm at my peak. I'm not going to get better than this. Right. And I'm just like, wow. I mean, that does kind of make sense.
Yeah. She was great.
Uh-huh. So Stu gets killed. Because they leave the ball and then they end up running into the werewolves who are currently chaining themselves to trees because they're about to turn because it's a full moon. And they end up getting in a fight with the werewolves.
And Stu is sacrificed.
Stu is attacked by werewolves. And so they have a funeral for Stu. And but it turns out Stu did not get killed. Stu got turned into a werewolf.
It was so great when he walked in and he has scars on his face. I'm like, oh, you look like Seal. I was like, that's a crazy reference to make.
There's a really sweet. Okay, so you hear everyone's backstory. The way he got to New Zealand is that he was a vampire. He fell in love with a woman, and the woman said they were in Europe, and she said she was moving to New Zealand. So he had his servant mail him to New Zealand, but he got the address wrong. So it took 7 months. And by the time he got to her, she was married to someone else. And he's still in love with her, even though she's an old woman now. But I thought it was so sweet because he's like, well, I saw her, she was married, but she looked happy, so I left her. Like, he didn't try to like disrupt her life, but he still loves her from afar.
But he did get with her at the end.
Yeah, because, well, she's like 90.
I thought that was a great final joke.
I love,
like,
yeah.
I know what you're going to think. Like, what is a 96-year-old woman doing with someone 3 times her age? Like, I know they're going to call me a cradle robber, but I thought that was great. Last.
Yeah, like, beat. Oh, yeah, because she's like a widow now.
Oh, she was a widow. Okay.
Yeah, because he couldn't let her go. And so he turned her into a vampire.
Yes.
I thought that was really sweet.
Yeah, it was great.
My only issue with this film is that towards the end, it felt like they were rushing and they compiled a bunch of things together really quickly, like wrapping up wise. Like, so when Stu dies after the werewolf fight, they show a photo of all the vampire characters. And so I'm like, it feels like it would be the end of this movie, but it's not. It quickly wraps up what happens, but very quickly in a way that I wonder if this movie was supposed to be longer.
I actually read that they had so much footage that they did one whole cut where it was story and one whole cut where it was just jokes.
What?
Yeah, which is insane to me. Like, just crazy.
Why would you bother doing those cuts?
I don't know. So there's actually an entire movie that's just jokes and an entire movie that's just the story. And they have so much footage. I was thinking that the whole time I was watching, I was like, this is funny, but man, they're just making a movie and this is so silly. Like, it was just like so silly. Mm-hmm. The whole thing was so silly. Uh-huh. And then later I was like, they got funded by the government to do this.
Oh, that's right.
Because New Zealand funds films and stuff like that. So there's no, they can do whatever they want with the money that they have. So it's just like a freedom that's like totally bizarre.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
The ending. Yeah, there's also scenes that play over the credits. And I'm like it shows what happens to the werewolves. It shows what happens to, I think, Jermaine's character. And I was like, why don't you just include this in the movie? Because the movie is very short.
It is really short. It's like 80 minutes or something, right?
Yeah, and I'm like, why not just include this in the movie? You have plenty of time. I thought the werewolves, they could have dived into that more because Rhys Darby is so great and they had so much fun with them. And yeah.
I mean, great comment that it just wasn't long enough for you.
True.
Sign of a great film.
True.
You wanted more.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why they made it rush towards the end. I don't know why. If there was a certain allotted time they had.
It may have been, too, that it was a short film before it was an actual movie. So maybe they may have even been, like, trying to stretch beyond their own bounds to do it.
Yeah.
So it may have felt really long to them, and because they had done a short film of it, and they're like, Jesus Christ, now it's 80 minutes. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. But I did enjoy this movie. I thought visually it was gorgeous.
Yeah, it was great.
I think this is a really great intro into, this is my first Taika Waititi film. And
you gotta see Thor, man.
I have seen Thor. It's great.
Wait, so it's not your first Taika. Oh, but you saw
that. All right, so no, I saw this before. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, it's really fun. It's very unique. It's because Jermaine Clement, I saw that, I think it was The Eagle and the Shark.
I haven't seen that.
Is his other film. And yeah, nothing's quite like this. I don't know if it's because he's collaborating. And yeah, a documentary about monsters. It's in New Zealand. There's so many elements
here
that make it unique. And it's a comedy. And it's not just a comedy. It's a comedy done in the style of these guys. Their sense of humor is so dry. It's so uniquely them. And yeah, it's a lovely little nugget of a film.
I love the line. I think my favorite line is when Jermaine's vampire says, "We just like virgin blood better." It's like, I'm trying to remember exactly what it was.
Oh, he's like,
if you have a sandwich, wouldn't want to eat a sandwich if someone had fucked it already. Or yeah, like, how's the
set? Oh, no. He's like, he asked the cameraman, he's like, well, hey, which do you prefer? A sandwich or a sandwich that someone had fucked? And I was like, that's a pretty good argument.
It was just the whole movie was just, there were little throwaway things too that were funny. Like, they called him the poker.
Uh huh.
And then later, Stu is showing them Facebook.
Uh huh.
And there's a moment where Stu's like, you can add someone or you can poke someone. Would you want to poke someone? And Jermaine is like, yes. Like, remembering his time as a poker. So it was just like so many little things like that were so great.
Oh, yeah. And he introduces them to Polaroids because they can't see their own reflection.
Yeah. So they start to.
And so they have this thing when they're getting ready to go out, they just have to rely on each other's feedback
and draw pictures of each other.
Yeah, they don't have to draw pictures. But when they have Polaroids, they're like, this changes the game.
Yeah. It was just, they were obviously having so much fun. And there were some moments too where I was like, man, this must have been shitty to film. Like, I mean, not shitty, but it must have just been so exhausting.
Yeah.
Like all the stuff where they're flying. I don't know how they did that.
I'm not sure either, but I feel like this, like, I'm sure it was very production heavy because of the look of the film, but I feel like this was a very fun film to make.
That's what I also think.
Yeah. Because there's definitely some. You could feel some improvisation happen, but it didn't feel too heavy.
It was also so cute that Taika had such a, like, well, everybody, like, he had such, like, an optimistic feeling, and you get the sense that he was like that all the time, like, on set. Oh, yeah.
Like, well, they did say that his character was a dandy.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I think this is just you.
And I thought that, too. Like, his eyes are just so big and bright. Like, he has such big, bright, happy eyes, and he acts so, like... I don't know. I think he's very sweet.
Mm-hmm. Because he plays a character kind of similar in Thor.
Who does he play in Thor?
He plays the rock monster that's really big.
Oh.
That Thor encounters in prison.
The guy that is like trying to guard people? He's stuck in the little circle.
Yeah, he's stuck in the circle.
Oh my God. Yeah. I didn't know that was him.
Yeah.
Wow. Just learned something.
Well, I thoroughly enjoy this. I highly recommend it. The pacing is a little off, but I will excuse that. Let's see. Okay. Ariana, if someone liked this movie, what would you recommend they watch next?
Oh, gosh, this movie really seems like the last say in documentary comedies, right? Like, we shouldn't make documentary comedies anymore. Like, we did The Office, we did Best in Show, we did everything.
I think
you can squeeze the last drop out of documentary comedies.
Yeah, this came out in 2014. And I remember thinking another documentary comedy, but this was very different with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I excuse that with this.
Maybe I would recommend another New Zealand. If someone wanted to see another New Zealand documentary, I would recommend Tickled. Have you seen Tickled before?
I think I might have.
Very strange film.
Is that the one where they've Tickling societies,
yes.
or someone's making
competitions? Underground tickling competitions.
Okay, because I think I might be confusing it with another documentary about tickling where someone's making tickling videos of people.
That's also happening in this movie. Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to find out who is requesting this.
Yeah, it's a mystery. It's kind of a mystery. Like, there's these tickling competitions, and this New Zealand reporter is like, what? And tries to do some research, but every time he tries to do research.
This.
Oh, you saw it?
Yeah,
oh, my God. Yeah.
It's pretty great.
It's pretty crazy. So that, to me, is another good New Zealand documentary. Totally in a different style, but mm-hmm. there's still... That's an actual documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw it, I've been so affected by mockumentaries, I actually thought it was a mockumentary the entire time that I watched it.
Really?
Yes. And I walked out being like, wow, that was really like realistic. And like those interviews were like, those people were really acting real. And everyone was like, that was real. And I was like, no, it's a mockumentary. And they're like, no, it absolutely is not. It's real. And I was like, whoa. And I had to go back and watch. I went back and watched the movie again.
That's so funny. You thought it was a mockumentary.
It was fucked up.
I would recommend Best in Show if you haven't seen it already.
That's definitely another one.
I would recommend Flight of the Conchords.
Mm-hmm. Same.
I'm trying to think if I would recommend Eagle and Shark. But that's a little... I mean, if you're really into Jermaine Clement, I would definitely say check out Eagle and Shark. That wasn't actually one of my favorite movies, but...
Maybe I would recommend Death of Stalin. Did you see Death of Stalin?
Oh, yes. I would recommend that.
Mm-hmm.
That does have a very dry sense of humor to it, mm-hmm. too.
Like wild ensemble. It's not as well put together as what we do in The Shadows, but it's...
Oh, really? I thought it was very well done.
I thought what we do in The Shadows is more, like, contained. Huh. Death of Stalin is like you have to know some shit, I feel. It was more surreal.
Really?
Yes.
I thought it'd be the other way around, but...
I know, as I was saying, like, how could it be more surreal than a mockumentary about vampires in New Zealand? What about vampires and politics and the system, man?
Or what about
that surreal?
Check out Interview with the Vampire. It's the one vampire movie you need to see, according to Ariana Lenarski. Well, we're winding down. Is there anything you would like to plug?
Brand New Podcast is my podcast that I do with Brittany Nichols.
Oh, nice.
If you're into woo-woo vampire things, I also... read tarot, and you can contact me at Dream City Tarot.
She's very
Twitter,
good, you guys.
And I will give you a reading. And I guess you can also find me at Aardvarsk, which is my handle on Twitter and Instagram.
She's very funny.
Aardvarsk. That's it.
Good stuff. Well, if you liked what you heard, you can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You could email us at indiedarlingspodcast@gmail.com. And you could also hit us up on Instagram or Twitter at indiedarlingspodcast. And that is all for this episode. Get your scary shit on.
Hi, I'm Winston.
And I'm David.
And we're the host of a new podcast on Campfire Media called Try It, You'll Like It.
And on our podcast, we have our guests eat a food they hate one last time.
And we have so many crazy guests.
We got amazing chefs.
We have killer comedians.
Bakers.
Candlestick makers.
Distillers.
Brewers.
Food writers.
Oh, they're writing about food.
Ooh, they're probably having some food while they're writing about that food.
Yeah, because we're eating food and they're eating food and you're listening to It Happen.
All you ASMR hits, enjoy. Chomp chomp.
So check it out every Thursday at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Mmm, that was good.
Campfire.